It's great to see you. Don't you wish that every Sunday morning you could wake up in just this sense of perfect calm? Don't you wish that when you woke up on Sunday morning, when you had opened the paper, it would say, "Go back to bed. Everything's fine." Peace has broken out in the Middle East and Northern Africa and over in Ireland. The people in the Republic of Ireland, the people in Northern Ireland, are they all went to church together this morning. It's just go back to bed. Just go back to bed. It's fine. It's fine. And don't you wish that when you woke up on a Sunday morning that all of the issues in your family, don't you wish they were just all settled? And when you thought about your family, every person just sort of made you smile in a bigger way. Just marvelous. And then if you were married and you thought about your spouse. And then if you suddenly thought about yourself. You thought about yourself and you thought about what you did through the past week and what you thought about and what you hoped for and you felt good about all of it. Wouldn't it be great? Some of us have our peace broken by really good things. I bet at the Harris and the Strover and the Kincaid house, things are a little different than they were. Because these baby boys have a way of expressing their opinion now in rather inarticulate ways at odd times of the clock. And there'll be days that Katrina and Andrew remember what they would call the good old days at some point. And then they'll look at Jamie and go, "They weren't all that good, this is good." But peace, we kind of hear that language sometimes, peace, peace. There is no peace. But we believe that one of the great virtues is the ability to receive and create peace. That because God is our Father and has blessed us in Jesus Christ, because the Holy Spirit has come into our life and is now marking us as a child of God and is bearing fruit in us as children of God, and that one of the fruit, part of the fruit of the Spirit, is the fruit of peace. Because of this, peace is a big deal. And because the ability to make peace in the world that is so turbulent is such a valuable skill, this is one of the cardinal virtues of Christian people and a Christian fellowship. Now we know something about this. Because when we were studying Romans, we heard about peace. And we're going to look at just a few things. You remember that we just said a while ago that Paul starts this letter in Rome. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace was a change, a little adaptation of the Gentile greeting, kyrē, kairos, grace. And peace is the great Jewish blessing, shalom. The sense not just of an absence of conflict, but a rich, glorious peace, balance, wholeness, health, goodness, all of those things flowing together. There was this sense that in the world, from Romans chapter 2, there's all kinds of difficulty, but glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good. Now the problem is that Romans chapter 2 is on the way to proving that there's nobody that does good. But if they did, one of the blessings of being people of God walking in His way is that you would have glory and honor and peace. In chapter 3, he talks about the fact that there are none righteous. The way of peace they do not know. In God there is peace. In the way without God there is no peace. You come to chapter 5. We studied this. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. Whatever our sins were doing, creating turmoil and distance between God and us, we have now had that cleared away by the justifying, reconciling, redeeming, atoning mercy of God in Christ. And we have peace. And now in the Holy Spirit, the mind that's governed by the flesh is death, but the mind that is governed by the Spirit is life and peace. What we couldn't have without God, we now have in Jesus Christ. And now we live this way. Romans chapter 12, in that little section we call Christian kindergarten. The ABCs of being a Christian, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. In the section that was talking about division in the church, how do you bridge those divisions? But you remember that being in God's kingdom, being under His rule, isn't a matter of eating and drinking, but a matter of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Therefore, let us do everything we can do to do what leads to peace and to building one another up in Christ. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Be filled with peace. And then the Apostle Paul ends the book of Romans twice. He ends it at the end of chapter 15. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. And then he remembers to say goodbye to his folks that he loves. And so he has chapter 16. And at the end of chapter 16, he ends it again. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord be with you. Time and time and time again in this letter about salvation, the word is peace. 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 Peace that is sought and not found. Peace that is given through Jesus Christ and received with joy. Peace that is then practiced as a virtue of the Christian life and fruit of the Spirit. Peace. And so I wanted us to read this morning Mark chapter 10, in which the word peace does not even appear. Because Mark chapter 10 is this wonderful, rollicking story of James and John wanting to be in middle management. They wanted to be in middle management. They were negotiating their way to be close to Jesus. When the kingdom come, when the Romans are kicked out, when something is set up, we want to be right-hand, left-hand man. We want the sons of Zebedee to be big shots in the kingdom of God. And so they come and they talk about it. And as they talk to Jesus and Jesus interacts with them, the other 12 are over there going, "What are you doing?" And it says they're indignant. They're upset. They're feeling that there's a rivalry brewing. Somebody's doing an end run around their corporate ego. And so they're upset, and Jesus has to respond to it. Not to just what James and John say, but what the others are doing. Because now inside these people that are going to have the message that will save the world, there's difficulty. There is a lack of peace. There's upset because there's rivalry and selfishness and envy and strife and other things that are very, very far away from being the fruit of the Spirit, that are more like the works of the flesh. And Jesus stops and says, "No, this isn't the way this works. Out there in the Gentile world, you get to be the boss by being bossy. You get to be the authority by being authoritarian, but not here. Here, the way of service, the way of peace, is to look out for the needs of others before you look for the needs of yourself. It is to be the servant of all." And Jesus says, For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. That the way to peace is the way of sacrificial service. So we wanted to talk about this. How do you climb down into this virtue? The first thing that you have is what we've talked about, is that we live in a world of desire and disorder. Why do you fight one another? Why do you bite one another? Why do you? Well, James says in James 4, you have because you want and you have not, and so you just get in a tizzy about it. There are ways that people come in conflict with one another that are just stunning. I got an email message this week written at 2:11 a.m. by a woman I don't know about a man I don't know. She just wanted me to know she was the good guy and he was the bad guy. And I just barely know his name. I don't know her at all. But at 2:11 in the morning, she wanted me to know that she was good and he was terrible. I got a feeling that this husband and wife don't see eye to eye on a lot of things. It's tough. Tough. And we do watch the news, and we do watch what's going on around us, and from city councils and school boards and PTAs and little league baseball fields and all of these places, it's strife and it's strife and it's strife. Just go on YouTube and just type in "Mother Attacks Little League Coach" and just see what comes up. Just see what comes up. This is a time where people are tried and stressed. It's hot outside. Jobs are scarce. Life has its various strains and stresses. And people are up to here with being up to here. I don't know if you felt that or not, but for me, along about 106, I get a little testy. And when I get in my car and the thermometer in the car doesn't even have enough numbers, it gets difficult. And we live in this world, and we get to decide whether we're going to learn to live in the world of desire and disorder by learning how to be an additional source of desire and disorder so that we can be a stronger source of it, more desirous, more disorder, and by our strength get our way in that. Or do we choose another path? Do you get to be the boss by just being bossier and out-bossing the bossy people? Do you get to be powerful by being more powerful and outpowering the powerful people? Or at some point do you say, "This is nuts. This is crazy. This is not the way this ought to work. There's got to be a different path." So, given a choice, we choose a different path. Knowing the peace of Jesus. When God decides to set the world straight, He sends a baby in a manger and proclaims, "Glory to God in the heavens and on earth, peace." Really? On earth, peace. And He brought Jesus into the world, and Jesus created this peace wherever He went. To a storm, he would say, "Peace, be still." And the storm was quiet. He could walk in to the place where the family was gathered. And the family gathered weeping and the wailers wailing over the 12-year-old girl, Jairus' daughter. And Jesus says, "Take the wailers away." He says, "Little girl, get up." And she does. And Jesus walks into the house of Mary and Martha. And they take him out to the tombs. And he calls Lazarus. And he comes out. In Mark 5, Jesus goes to the graveyard, and there's a man who's filled with demons. So much that they call themselves legion. And Jesus calls them out. "Take your disorder into the pigs. Take your disorder into the lake. But this man is going to be set free, and he is there clothed and in his right mind." Jesus is going to the cross. And he speaks a word of forgiveness over those who are there. "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And hanging on the cross between two thieves, the thieves are arguing. One thief comes to him in faith, and Jesus says, Today is going to be a day of peace." You got people talking on crosses about what they're going to do later that day in paradise. Jesus walks along the road to Emmaus and he talks to these guys there in Luke 24. "Tell me about what's been going on." He says, you've been in Jerusalem. You don't know what's been going on. There was Jesus, and we'd hoped he was the consolation of Israel. And we had hoped, and our hopes have died. And now we're going back. And Jesus starts talking to them. He explains the Old Testament to them. And he sits down to dinner with them. And then he disappears out of their sight. And they go, "We knew it. We felt it. They go all the way back to town." And he shows up again. And a week later, he'll show Thomas the scars in his hand. The scars that made this peace. And to us, we have come to know the peace of Christ. We have heard the invitation. Come out of the world of sin. Come out of the world of darkness. Come to where there's light. Come to where there's salvation. We've heard it. And maybe it was a strain of a "why not tonight," or maybe it was "just as I am," or maybe it was just our own private thoughts that brought us to Jesus. But we've come to this place where we have named the name of Jesus, where we have turned our life to God. We have felt ourselves buried in the waters of baptism. We have felt ourselves raised from the dead, and we know that in Christ we have been given a new life. That word that we heard just earlier during the communion service, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Jesus promises rest and peace to weary folks. There is a different way to live in a world of riot and disorder without becoming more riotous and more disordered. We find ourselves put together under the love of God, washed and raised under the blood of Christ, and transformed by the moving, powerful Holy Spirit. We become a people who have received peace. And then we hear Jesus saying, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And in this, we find ourselves pouring out of our life what has been poured into our life. Making the peace of Christ with others. This is trickier, I think. I think that we prefer to receive peace, making it hard. Making peace puts you in the presence of people who are not having a great day. Not having a great day. You turn toward it. You become so confident that your peace is in Christ that you're willing to have your own personal peace disrupted for the sake of making peace in the life of others. Now, in order to be a peacemaker, I think one of the first things we have to settle is, what is the impact of my life in a given situation? That sounds fancy. Here's what I mean. When you show up, by the nature of who you are, do things get more or less peaceful? When you show up, is your personality, is your way of doing things, are you naturally the person that makes things better or worse with regard to peace and balance and stability? Some of us, the way we're raised, kind of the way we're bent, or the way we are disruptive. We create disequilibrium wherever we go. We ruffle feathers. We pluck feathers. We make people wish they had feathers. We are the people for whom the phrase "do not fold, spindle, or mutilate" was made, because we're given to doing that. Disruption is sort of our way of life. We engender panic and disorder. And I'm overstating that, but you know what I mean. When somebody, sometimes, you know, I think I've walked into situations and I wasn't all that helpful. So I think the first thing we do is we ask the Lord, "Lord, am I, as I am, ready to be an instrument for peace in this world?" And after we've asked that question, then we pray, "Lord, make me more and more an instrument for peace and wholeness and wellness in this world. Make me an instrument of your peace." You know that song. And then after you pray that God will make you into a person of peace, then prepare to act as a person of peace. I don't think I've told you this story. It's one in which I am not the hero. So I'm not... It's not one of my favorite stories, because I like stories where I'm the hero. I was walking... This makes it sound like I'm a guy who went to Israel, but I did. I was walking down the Damascus Road street, the street of Damascus, in Jerusalem. It was hot. We'd been walking all day. This is a bazaar. It's a row of shops under a hot tent cover kind of a thing. And we're going down there, and I can hear behind me this guy coming, and he's yelling at people. He's yelling at people. And he's pushing a cart. And he's yelling at people, and he's pushing them out of the way. And I see him coming, and I've got my little family right here and all that. And I've got in my mind, he's not going to do this to me. He's not going to push me. I am not from this country. He pushes, and he gets close to me, and he pushes the little cart, and I push back. He goes, wham! And throws the edge of that cart into my leg and tears my pants. I'm the minister of a large church in a foreign country, in a holy city, walking where Jesus walked. And right up next to him walks a Coptic priest. Hot weather, he's dressed in a full robe, got to be felt, you'd make a hat out of. And he looks at me and he goes, Oh. He didn't say another word. He saved my life. But he didn't say another word. Torn pants, bleeding leg, guy going down the street with a cart. Enough. Enough. You can't defend your turf. You can't protect yourself. Sometimes you have to let people in their carts go by. Peace. An instrument of peace. And he was there as an instrument of peace. And he made the peace of Christ on the street of Damascus that day. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. My hope is that our church will again and again and again define the Church of Christ as an assembly of peace. It's an interesting thing because in the history of Churches of Christ, the University Church of Christ in Austin was the home and the beginning place of what church historians called the Texas fighting style. I can show you the chapter. The Texas fighting style. I don't know, some people may be related to the people who did that back in the early part of the 20th century, but it is in the books and it is tied to this place. The Texas fighting style. People who used the name of Jesus but adopted the preaching ministry style of John the Baptist. The Texas fighting style was probably out of date when it started. And it is not in vogue now. In this world, there's a great need for peace. The people who know how to receive it, and the people who know how to share it. In Nahum it says, look, there on the mountains, the feet of one who brings good news, who proclaims peace. May that be you. Always. Always. We have received peace. We have peace to share.